There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 540, December 8th, 2011. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by the one and only this year's Motorsports calendar offered by F1Weekly and Saison 76. Get one now. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, he's off, he's back again. It's incredible. No, not Dijon 79. The United States Grand Prix 2012 is back on target. FOTA beginning to fall apart. Petrov slowly drifting to Marussia. And of course, thanks to everyone for filling out the survey. And we have an outstanding Motorsports Mondial from the king of Karachi, Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
Well, I'm okay. You know, it's the off-season now, and it's just sort of finally settling in that there are no more Formula One races.
This year. Yeah, but it's not like we've been lacking for news this week.
No, there's plenty of news. Well, we've gotten over the Kimi Raikkonen news. That's now old stuff.
Yeah, that's old stuff.
Yeah. But no, there's plenty. And of course, the big news for us here in the Americas is the U.S. Grand Prix is back. There's only one reason why it's back. And that's because
somebody got a check.
Exactly. And that's how things work.
And it cleared.
And in our capitalistic society, Stephen. So I was very happy. Mr. Eccleston, yes, received the check. Everyone at the Circuit of the Americas wants to thank the fans, which is really, really great. They say that we remain committed to reaching our goal of being a valuable partner in the community and bringing Formula One to the people way down in Texas. We have a substantial number of fans who have expressed interest in buying tickets and hospitality, so today is a win for all of them as much as it is for the Circuit of the Americas. Way down in Texas, I saw miles and miles of Texas. So there you have it. I'm pretty happy about it. Looks like we might have a race here.
Yeah, now will they be able to get the track done in time?
I think they will. Texans are professional, Stephen.
Yeah.
They think big.
Things get built quick in America.
Yes, so I'm very happy about that. And of course, that means the 2012 FIA Formula One World Championship calendar has been locked into stone. Of course, we start with Australia. Following that, we go to Malaysia, then China, Bahrain.
A lot of people wondering necessarily why it's back in the calendar.
The problem is they paid.
Yeah.
And a lot of the human rights people aren't too happy with what's going on in Bahrain. And what do you expect?
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that shakes out come February, March, and whether or not there's any more unrest, civil unrest that makes it dicey for the circus to come to town.
More security, Stephen. It's called Blackwater. Anyway, after Bahrain, we go to Spain, Monaco, Canada, Europe, the European Grand Prix, which is in Valencia, British Grand Prix, German, Hungarian, Belgian, which is good. Spa's back. That's good.
Hey.
Italian Grand Prix at Monza, Singapore, Japan, Korea, India, Abu Dhabi, the United States Grand Prix on November 18th, and we finish the season off with the Brazilian Grand Prix. And to be honest with you, we certainly could get rid of the European Grand Prix in Valencia.
Yeah.
It's not one of my favorites.
No. Frankly, I think you should take the European Grand Prix and make it a European floater. And just move it around. You know,
I agree. Well, that's what they used to do back in the day. And I think it should go to France. It should go to Imola.
Yeah, you could maybe throw it at one of the German tracks on a year. Maybe we can get back to Zandvoort or something, you know, down low. Or maybe, you know, throw the Hungarian in as one of those and toss that one over to someplace else. But, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. No, but it's a good schedule. I'm looking forward to it. I still think there might be some issues with Bahrain, but still, I'm convinced the U.S. Grand Prix will be there. So I'm a happy camper, Stephen.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
The FIA has also released some new rules, Steve. Well, they're not overly complicated, but some of them I think are... I mean, we're just taking the racing out of racing. And one of the ones...
If you give up the line, you can't take it back.
Yeah, I know.
That's like, okay, who's going to enforce that?
I don't know, and it depends on who the driver may be. There's so many extenuating circumstances around any of those kinds of investigations. But still, the first rule change is all lap cars will be allowed to unlap themselves and then join at the back of the field during safety car periods, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, and I thought that they passed this rule two, three years ago and then never implemented it.
Not really, exactly. There will be now a maximum race time of 4 hours, which gives us time for red flags and rain and washouts and gully washers and still get the race within the window of opportunity.
Yeah, well, the race limit itself is 2 hours.
That's just for the race itself. Right. But the race activities for that day
right.
is going to be 4 hours.
I believe the previous number was 8 hours or something like that.
I'm not sure, Steven.
Or that maybe there wasn't a set limit.
You know what? And these limits are always flexible depending on race control.
Right.
And what's going on. Also, drivers will not be allowed to move back onto the racing line after having moved off of it to defend their position, Stephen. Get that right.
Well, if you go off the line, you can't go back.
Exactly. Also, next year, cars which were in the pit lane, a race is suspended, will now be allowed to rejoin the grid in the position they were in when the race was stopped, which is a reasonable rule.
Right.
One more thing.
No shortcuts.
No shortcuts, but let's get to tire allocations. Drivers now allowed to use all tires from the start of practice. Previously, only 3 sets were permitted, Stephen.
Yeah, and that was kind of a silly rule. Hey, we're going to get in season testing.
Correct. One more rule here. Drivers will not be allowed to leave the track, like cutting a chicane on a reconnaissance lap or in laps to save time and fuel without a justifiable reason. A little trickery to save a little gas, a little wear on the motor, a little wear on the gearbox.
A little wear on the tires even.
Everything. Yes, exactly. The WMSC, as we all know it, also announced that former Grand Prix driver Gerhard Berger has been appointed as the new president of the single-seater commission. So I'm happy for him.
And they approved the calendar.
And he's a good guy, yes. So I think that's great. Keep up the good work with the FIA. Now, let's go on to FODA. They're just falling apart.
Well, it seems really wild because wasn't McLaren and Ferrari last week that said, nah, we're leaving. And Norbert comes back earlier this week and goes, no, we need it. What the heck's going on with that?
I don't know, but Ferrari and Red Bull have pulled out.
Okay.
It's official. They're gone. And now Sauber has announced that they're out of there, too.
Yeah, and that's basically based on the whole spending limits deal.
Correct. And another team which is about to bail is Toro Rosso, which makes sense. Yeah. Red Bull, Toro Rosso, even though they are based in Faenza, Italy. There are other people like Williams, Force India, Lotus, Virgin, Mercedes, Renault, and McLaren who are having a Tuesday meeting to discuss where do they go from there. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's like some drivers didn't want to be in the Grand Prix
Drivers Association.
Correct. But still, we'll see what this goes. I don't know. If Mercedes sticks in there and McLaren sticks with it, I think they'll still be viable and influential.
Right.
Which is really the important thing. As I mentioned in the past, I suspected this might happen, Steve. It's looking closer and closer that Petrov would go to Marussia. Now, I don't know about a swap, because Timo Glock is a nice guy, but he hasn't really shown any spark, any chutzpah.
Consistency, that's all he's really got.
Well, he came out saying, if I had a Red Bull, I'd be just as good as Sebastian Vettel.
Don't think so.
You know, and
I think he might be better, because anybody in a Red Bull would be better, but yeah. I'm thinking he's more likely a Mark Webber or
correct.
Lower.
Exactly, and I was just going to mention the Webber situation. In the same car, but still big difference. You know, I know Timo's a good German and everybody loves him, but I think he's having...
One too many schnitzel.
Could be, or the strudel's been spiked.
Mm, yes.
I know, but it's okay. But still, I really believe that Marussia and Petrov, it's just ideal. They want those rubles going to a Russian team, and I think either Grosjean, who tested the BMW DTM car in Spain, not sure what's going on there. We still have Bruno Senna, Adrian Sutil, Rubinho! Sorry, but I have to still say it if he's still in...
Well, he hasn't officially retired yet, so...
He hasn't officially retired. Well, he won't. I mean, you know, he'll be kicking and screaming as they take him out to pasture. And one of my favorite pieces of news, you talk about bitter, bitter, guttural feelings. Where it just, it's, you know, it's been 20 years almost, and it still affects you every time you wake up in the morning. And that's Josh, the boss, Verstappen. He's still out there bitching and moaning about Schumacher, because Schumacher blew him out of the water at Benetton. And that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Timo, listen.
You look really at your contract.
You don't really want to get on a team with someone like Sebastian Vettel, course, because they're going to kick your ass.
Not only that, but everybody knew in those days that Schumacher, they were always capable of cheating. There was always sneaky stuff going around at Benetton, from the active suspension in the 90s to everything else. They were always pulling the sneaky off, and certainly Schumacher's car was better than your Mr. Boss. I mean, what do you think? Who has he been talking to? It's ridiculous, and I feel sorry. You know, he's got to let go. He needs to get therapy.
He needs to move on.
Well, he's always bitter inside. He's got some anger management problems, too. I remember when we were at the A1GP race at Laguna Seca, all four of us, there was a big problem, and you see Joss getting out of the car, and he was yelling and freaking out and screaming and hollering, and nobody knew why. So, but still, absolutely fascinating stuff. I love it.
He's probably ranting about Schumacher having a better car than him.
But it was exciting to see at least Verstappen back in the news.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know what he's been doing. Probably doing some local stuff. Maybe has a karting track somewhere in the Netherlands.
Wasn't he doing DTM or
no,
one of the other pin tops?
He's not doing anything, Steven. Trust me. Okay. Trust me. So we'll see where Petrov goes. I find that fascinating in itself. We're going to take a quick break because I need a drink. And we'll be back after this brief message.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Holiday Inn Select Indianapolis Airport. This Holiday Inn Select is a full-service, atrium-style hotel and conference center. While a guest there, make use of the free, high-speed internet access, indoor pool, and fitness center. Or enjoy the good life at the Chanteclair restaurant with its award-winning French cuisine and strolling violinist. Or race over to the spot of F1 Weekly's Listener Appreciation Friday social event, Benchwarmer Sports Bar. Catch all the race action on multiple TVs while enjoying the food and daily drink specials. The hotel is located directly across from the Indianapolis International Airport and provides free 24-hour shuttle service and guest parking. It's close to downtown and to the site of the 2007 Formula One United States Grand Prix, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which makes this hotel an ideal choice for business, pleasure, and for the listeners of this podcast. Call for your reservation today to 1-317-244-6861 or 1-888-HOLIDAY or book online through www.hiselect.com. You know you want to.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as I spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Karachi King himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and that happy feeling for five in a row for Deutschland Uber Alles. The captain goes bushwhacking and much, much more from the Autosport Awards in Londres, also known as London. We shall start the Mondial with a trip to Dusseldorf and the Esprit Arena. This was, of course, with the pairing of Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel in the Race of Champions. What a surprise they won the event. I mean, who's going to beat these two guys if they team up? You know what I'm saying? But doing it 5 years in a row is very impressive. That got my attention. But then again, nothing new for the Red Baron. He's been in that territory before. You remember those days. And that was, of course, in the Nations Cup. Your homeboy, Sébastien Ogier, became the third French driver after Didier Auriol and Sébastien Loeb. And I note with interest, all of them are from the world of rallying, to triumph in Race of Champions over Tom Christensen of Denmark. The Le Mans legend beat Michael Schumacher in the semifinals, which is very impressive. Remember when Heikki Kovalainen beat Michael Schumacher and became darling of the media? Ogier beat newly crowned DTM champion Martin Tomczyk to get to the finals. Do you think they will show this on Speed TV?
I think they will. They usually do late in December. Yeah, it's either that or an HDNet.
Yeah, lately on Speed TV, they've been showing a lot of British touring cars, Australian touring cars, WTCC. Actually, I taped and watched the race from Curitiba in Brazil, which was interesting. Nice track. There was a DTM season opener from Hockenheim, which I enjoyed very much. And, of course, they beat the British touring cars from Brands Hatch. Very nice. So it's good they're showing all this kind of stuff. Better late than never. Always the case. And Dakar is coming up soon. And that's a very nice event, too. Okay, now we go to some news on F3 Euro Series, which used to be pretty big some years ago. Now struggling for survival since the arrival of GP3, or as we call it here, HP3. They have announced a 15-car entry for the 2012 championship, and they're hoping to add a few more cars to the total. So I think they'll get probably 18 or 20 cars. Roberto Meri won the championship this year but made a complete mess at the start of both the marquee events of the season, the F3 Masters at Zandvoort and the Macau Grand Prix last month. He crashed out as soon as the race started. In the Zandvoort thing, he took out his teammate, Daniel Junqueira, and the team was not too happy. Okay, and of course, Meri is from Spain. Previous championship winners in the F3 Euro Series include pretty impressive names. Some of them you might know, like this guy, Lewis Hamilton, Romain Grosjean, Nico Hülkenberg, and Jules Bianchi. The winner of the first F3 Euro Series championship in 2003, and this series was created after merging the French and German F3 Series, may surprise a few. Ryan Briscoe of Australia. Talking of Jules Bianchi, he was the winner and loser over the weekend in the Massa Karting Challenge in Florianopolis in Brazil. The French Ferrari test driver won the event but was given a penalty for being underweight, and I don't know how that happened. I think they provide all the karts, handing the win to Senor Jaime Alguersuari. And Jaime Sebastian Buemi are looking like two happy kittens. They might survive the machete of Dr. Marco and go into the, what will be, fourth year of Toro Rosso?
I believe so.
Yeah. Australian V8 supercars from Sydney. Winner in race one was Craig Lowndes over fellow Holden driver Garth Tender. Second race of the weekend brought the title number 3 in 4 years for Jamie Wincup after finishing 8th. The race was won by Frosty, Mark Winterbottom. Lowndes was second. Ford driver Shane Van Gisbergen was third in both races of the weekend. And you know, talking of Australia, I have never been to that part of the world, which is the world in itself. And now I'm thinking of making a run there in 2013 if I'm still employed and kicking around. What say you?
I think that's absolutely outstanding. We'll add a couple of zeros to your check and we'll get you on the plane.
Yes. Yeah. See what happens when you add zeros? Toby did the new forum.
Outstanding job.
And I might do something like that. So I'll see if I can make it to the 2013 Australian Grand Prix.
That would be fun.
Yeah, it should be.
And I'd like to go to Nasser.
Yeah. One of my co-workers went there, and I have some, you know, people I know, family members and friends who are there. And you know our friend Mr. Koala and other family F1 Weekly family members. The gentleman here with the Rotax thing, Adrian Schwartzberg, you know, he's from Melbourne, and he tells me that his folks live basically walking distance from
Melbourne
Park.
And we're invited to stay with Mama and Papa Schwartzberg.
It's in Victoria Bitter. That'll be nice, eh? Yeah, my co-worker went there some years ago, and she really enjoyed it very much. Language is not an issue. And so
you know, the women are very beautiful in Australia, Nasser.
Yeah. After watching some videos...
You have to stay in control.
Yeah, after watching some videos of Kylie Minogue, I would say, yeah, oh yeah. Frank, you know, funny you say that. I was, last time I was flying back to the U.S., I was in this big line to get into, you know, to the counter.
Into first class?
Yeah, in my mind. Yeah, they have like 200 plus in that first class. But anyway, this girl came from looking very mighty fine with a very thick Australian accent, asking me if this was the line for flight to, I think, Sydney, she said. I says, no, but you're welcome to take a trip to Cal, cross the water, see America. Did not happen. But anyway, back to Motorsports Mondial. JK Racing Asia Series. JK is a big Indian tire manufacturer, and they took over the what used to be former BMW Asia Series. Okay, and the series is still using the same French-built Migal cars, very good-looking cars, with BMW motorcycle engines. And I don't know how long this arrangement would last as far as the BMW engines are concerned. But anyway, the 2011 championship has been decided, and the winner is from Austria, Lucas Auer. And this was interesting to note. Second in the championship was Malaysian Afiq Ikhwan, I-K-H-W-A-N, and first name Afiq is A-F-I-Q, who won last four races of the season and a total of 10 this year. And Afiq was on the podium in 15 of the 18 races. And obviously, I'm sure he would be racing somewhere in Europe. I hope he does not do silly things people do, jump into F3 right away, maybe go into Formula Renault and go step by step. But let's see what happens. You already covered this, but Tata to Fota after Ferrari and Red Bull said sayonara to Fota. Sauber has also left the building. It is only a matter of time before Toro Rosso announced their departure. And Bernie must be saying, ha, ha, ha. Everybody has tried to put me down, but I ain't going down.
Bernie always wins, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Always.
Own the keys to the shed, it's usually pretty easy.
Yeah. One thing I will say about Bernie, you know, even with this case, whoever has dealt with Bernie, apart from one exception, which was Clay Regazzoni, in terms of business, whether it was Tony George or anybody, drivers who worked him, and Nelson Piquet, who won a championship with him too, I believe, at Brabham, he said he never had a written contract with Bernie Ecclestone. Think about it, a Formula One driver, world champion, working on word of mouth. And I've never heard anybody say that Bernie reneged on his deal or he broke the arrangement. But so that's very impressive. And this coming from a car dealer, that is really shocking. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Okay, and this was very big news in the world of NASCAR Nation.
Well, you sort of predicted this a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like this, you know. There are people like Roger Penske, Carl Haas, Ron Dennis, you know. You don't tell them how to run. Luca Montezemolo. You don't tell these people how to run a racing organization. That's not going to work. Paul Tracy tried that. So they invited him after the season to a San Diego hotel and told him, you know, your services are no longer required. So anyway, Kurt Busch cut loose by Roger Penske. This is like more of a motorsports mantra or a, what you would call editorial. So let me get a little serious here. The Busch brothers are always in the news, on and off the track. Some years ago, there was trouble for Kurt on a street west of Mississippi. Then brother Kyle was test driving a Lexus LFA at over 120 miles per hour in a neighborhood east of Omaha. But what happened in season finale at Homestead was the beginning of the end of Kurt Busch at Penske Racing. The gentleman from Shaker Heights did not like the new lows of his Vegas vagabond, and now he has received the famous message from Western Union Man: "Your services are no longer required. We wish you all the best in your future endeavors. Thank you. Dan Lugenbull will now open the door for you." And that's Roger Penske's right-hand man. Kurt Busch, like his brother, is a very talented racing driver. Kurt enjoyed much success at Penske Racing, winning 16 races in a six-year period. But one thing Penske is famous for did not rub on Kurt, and that is spelled C-L-A-S-S. You know how to pronounce that.
Never heard of it.
You're full of it.
Exactly. I represent that here at F1 Weekly.
Yeah, only you. Okay, thank you. High and mighty do come down. Little brother has not yet learned from his own mistakes and tantrums. Perhaps a little family chat over eggnog and mistletoe might help him before he is let go. By Joe Gibbs Racing. Because he's going out of control too. Talking of this, did you see what he did? I'm not going to repeat what he said, but did you see any of this? What happened?
I did. I saw some of it. It's pretty funny stuff.
It's pretty sad stuff.
I know, but yeah. You know, we're talking NASCAR. We're talking Kaushin. We're talking Pabst Blue Ribbon here.
No, you know, people who do jobs, whatever it may be. If you don't like the person, I understand, but you know, there has to be some professional respect. And the way he was going off was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
And in this day and age, you know, a video camera on a $30 phone might bring you down. Lesson learned for everybody. Okay, moving on. Williamson, the second coming of Lewis. Oh, I'll come to the Autosport show, then I have a question for you.
I know, the Autosport show I know is your favorite.
Yeah, I do like it very much. Williamson, the second coming of Lewis. This 22-year-old from Scotland is making a wee bit of a name for himself. He has been signed to Red Bull Driver Development Program and will race in World Series by Renault with Arden team. This series will be serious cutthroat next year as Kevin Magnussen has already signed. Standout from this season in the British F3, of course, Kevin Corius of Estonia, who also did very well this year in World Series by Renault, will be there. And Felipe Nasr, British F3 champion from this year, is also likely to be in this series. And talking of Felipe Nasr, he is racing at the Daytona 24 Hours as part of winning the Sunco Challenge. And this is what talent does. He is testing this week at Daytona in a Daytona prototype car, first time against a lot of experienced drivers in the series. And he had the fastest time.
Sacré bleu!
This is very, very impressive. So if all goes well, I will be at the Daytona 24 Hours. I want to see that track. I'm very interested in that track and also the place. So we'll see how it works out. Hapit Reyes at Jerez. They were in testing recently in Spain, and man of the moment was young German Daniel Abt. And there is this American kid, Ethan Ringel. Have you ever heard of him? This kid, we wish everybody all the best, you know, whether they're from Armenia or America or Anatolia. Anyway, this kid has gone from Formula Enterprise. Have you ever heard of this series?
Never.
It's like a SCCA series.
Okay.
It's not even Formula 2000. That's pretty popular in this country. And this kid has jumping straight to GP3, which is very heavy talent. You know, Esteban Gutierrez was there. This year, Valtteri Bottas and a lot of people with a lot of experience. So I wish him well, but I think it's just too big of a jump across the pond to take part in that series. He would be better off in Formula Renault. Or
you never know. Yeah. I mean, maybe he has Raikkonen-esque kind of talent.
Well, you know what? If that was the case, I wish he'd. I hope he is. But you know that stunt that Raikkonen pulled out, 23-car races, is basically 1 year of motor racing and going to F1. Bypassing F3, GP2, that really speaks for itself. I mean, I will be surprised if he will see something like this in the next 10 years. But you never know. We've been wrong before. Anyway, moving on. Autosport Awards. Man, what a treat it was to be able to watch online. And as soon as I found out, I put a note on the F1 Weekly forum because, you know, we're all motor racing family and hopefully it was not too late for some. And I did pick up towards the tail end, I would say. And did you watch any of that?
I did watch some of it, but you know.
Did you know it was coming, or you just stumbled into it like
I
did?
No, I knew it was coming.
I was.
It always comes right after the season.
No, no, online it was the first time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it was pretty common knowledge because Autosport sort of beats their own horn if you go to their website. It's like, flash, 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 watch me flash.
Wow. No, it was very good.
We're more subdued here.
Oh, we're low-key and humble because of your charm, you know.
I know, which is understandable.
No, I understand. Yeah. Repetition precedes itself. But that's good. Best part was Fettel doing a Kimi impression. And this kid is very good, man. It was nice to see him. You know, he has become two-time world champion. He's not pulling stunts like Michael Schumacher, give me $80,000, I'll come. Or like Kimi Raikkonen not showing up. And
no, he's a good kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid. And, you know, some years ago, I think it was 2009, I was at the Hockenheim DTM race, and I was turning in an area which was, like, not marked, but it was obvious it was some, you know, enclosure for the VIPs and some team. And I'm standing there waiting for somebody, and who walks out? Sebastian Vettel for, like, a minute or two. And I just could not believe, I mean, how he just looked like a high school kid, you know, very young. But it's good for him to show up, and he expressed a desire to come back again. So nice to see a fan-friendly racing world champion.
Well, we'll see how long he keeps doing this Kimi Raikkonen impression, because that could come back to bite.
No, I would like to see him do a Michael Schumacher impression. That'll be nice. Anyway,
I'd like to see Raikkonen do a Vettel impression.
Kimi Raikkonen, man. I mean, incredible racing talent, but wow. My question is still, if $50 million did not motivate you, I don't know what.
We shall see. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, with the Lotus and... we'll see. Okay, as far as winners were concerned, International Driver of the Year was... The good thing is, you know, I think these are like voted by the readers, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure. I think some of this stuff is just...
But it's very reflective of... the awards are pretty well-earned. For example, International Driver of the Year... Of course, you want none, though, but, you know, one win is not going to compare with 11 wins and second world championship. So Sebastian Vettel was right. British Competition Driver of the Year has to be Jenson Button. Who else? Alex Lloyd or Mike Conway? I don't think so. Oh, I know who you want. Pippa Mann.
Exactly.
Oh, how about Mrs. Susie Wolf?
That would have been good.
No, Jenson Button, very well deserved. And you know what? I'll tell you. Lewis Hamilton, as talented as good he is, he really will have to rattle Jenson Button's cage next year to get there. Otherwise, he's in the danger of becoming just another good driver.
Uh-oh, when Nasser says that,
you know,
it's over.
Yeah, that's a big. There's not a big difference between another good driver and a great driver, but you know, we've seen what teammates have done to clobber the, you know, choke the teammate. It happens.
Does it?
Oh, yeah, it happened this year, too. As Fisico, he's still waiting for that winning car. That was a classic statement. Some guy wrote in some magazine, what was he expecting to say on the side of that Renault? This is a winning car. That was pretty bad. But anyway, these things happen. And, you know, Giancarlo Fisichella might be. I know he takes part in some sports car racing. I don't know if it's with... He might be at... there will be several Formula One drivers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's really
if
motivating.
If you get an interview with Fisichella... That's it.
What is one question you want me to ask him?
How much does he miss Flavio?
Yeah, I will ask him that. Okay, Rookie of the Year was, I will be surprised if Formula One you will disagree, Paul Di Resta.
I think it should have been Sergio Perez.
I would say, but I don't know if they were only referring to British drivers.
Yeah,
but,
you think?
Yeah.
I noticed a little bit slant over to the British.
No, Paul Di Resta, you know, coming from DTM, he was in DTM for several years. He's done that's very good.
Yes, no, don't get me wrong. I think Paul Di Resta is a great driver, but I think a lot of expected highly of him. Sergio Perez came out of nowhere.
Sergio Perez really blew me away. I thought he will be... replaced by Esteban or somebody before the season was out.
But this is just my personal opinion, Nasser.
Yeah, and talking of DTM, I remember, I will not take the name, I was talking to a young driver with some experience, race-winning experience in British Europe, F3 Euro Series, and I made a suggestion to him because of his sponsorship issues to go into DTM. And he says to me, oh no, DTM is a dead end. And you know, I don't think there's any series as a dead end if you're a good drummer. If you're a good drummer, you cream will rise to the top.
Right, and that's what Paul DeRosa demonstrated.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now, this was also no surprise. Rally car of the year was Mini. Would you have any problem with that?
Yeah.
Why?
It doesn't start with a C.
And doesn't end with N?
Correct. I mean, come on, the winning car.
I understand.
Who comes up with this stuff? British people?
No, this was pretty good. But Sebastian Loeb.
I think there were too many beans on the toast this week.
No, but there was Sebastian Loeb was voted as Rally Driver of the Year.
He won his eighth world consecutive championship.
Yeah. I mean, he's not. But they did a very good job first year. But then again, it's David Richards' pro drive operation. So
and where is he from?
He's from Wales.
Okay, he's Welsh.
Yeah, exactly.
So no beans and toast there?
Yeah, well, I don't know what they have there, but it's all part of the...
Don't get me wrong, I love beans and toast. I've been eating it ever since I heard how good it is from our president of European operations.
Cool. McLaren Autosport BRDC award winner, selected from a group of young, talented British drivers. Now, this was just the British drivers. Was Oliver Rowland. The 19-year-old from Sheffield was second in this year's Formula Renault UK Championship. This kid and Lewis Williamson are looking good to be the next wave of Lewis and Jensen of British motorsports. And I had mentioned this some months ago. Lewis Williamson, who is from Scotland, he was racing in Scottish karting scene, or whatever he was doing. It was karting, actually. Then money became an issue, and he dropped out. And this is very good. There were some people who were racing. These were guys who had money or opportunities to do these things. They all said, you know, hey, we're going nowhere. Why don't we just pull our sources and put this kid in the cart? And that's what they did. So, you know, cream finds its way to the top. And this kid is very good. A lot of young, talented drivers. I got to tell you something. The guys who are right now knocking on F1's door and who have spent a year or two in World Series and GP2, these people will catch up to them in about a year or so. So they really need to make something happen. Otherwise, you know, when Felipe Nasr, Esteban Gutierrez, or Kevin Magnussen is very good, and all these drivers, Carlos Sainz Jr., a lot of cream coming. You know, the entry-level series are full of Parmalat without the bankruptcy. So we'll see how they go.
...of Pedersen, Sever, and Helwood, leading his Matra for the next 10 laps. Then Peter Gethin made his charge and passed teammate Ganley, then Sever, and finally Pedersen, and then Halewood to take the lead on lap 52. As they entered the Parabolica for the last time, Sever led, but Pedersen left his braking point for the last moment and passed him only to run wide. This allowed Gethin and Sever to slip through on the inside, with Gethin having just enough impetus to lead across the line to win the Italian Grand Prix by 1/100th of a second from Pedersen, who had recovered sufficiently to beat Sever for second.
And the winner of that race, Peter Gethin, has passed away. Some sad news from the last few days. Gethin was the winner of one of the fastest and most dramatic race finishes in Formula One history. All this on the last pre-chicane Monza Grand Prix in 1971. On the final lap, going into Parabolica, Gethin was third, moved into second coming out of Parabolica, and just barely passed or held off Ronnie Peterson to claim his one and only victory in Formula One championship. Gethin's father, Ken, was the famous jockey. Peter started his F1 career in the 1970 Dutch Grand Prix at McLaren, and I just read a few minutes ago before coming into the Palatial Studios, there is a very nice article on him by Maurice Philip, I believe, on GrandPrix.com, and I will have some information from that after this thing. So where was I? Yeah, he started his career in the 70 Dutch Grand Prix at McLaren, replacing founder Bruce, who was killed in a testing accident at Goodwood. And it was on this day when he was killed that Peter Gethin was also invited by Bruce McLaren to test his Formula One car. So while he's getting ready to test, the boss gets killed. Very sad. He also replaced Bruce in Can-Am Racing and won the race at Road America. Another sports car fatality, Pedro Rodriguez in 1971 at Nürburgring, brought Peter into the BRM team, and Monza was his only second outing with the famous British team. A few weeks later, he also won the non-championship Formula One race at Brands Hatch, in which his teammate Joe Siffert was killed in a fiery accident. This race was also the first ever Formula One event in the career of a gentleman we recently interviewed, Carlos Reutemann. Talk about history. In later years, Peter Gethin was involved in driver management and was also team manager at Tolman in 1984 when a rookie raced for the team with sponsorship from Segafredo, Ayrton Senna. Gethin was 71 years old. Our condolences to the Gethin family. And this article on GrandPrix.com talks about what happened after the race. First of all, he got only 800 pounds for winning the Italian Grand Prix from his team owner, which was Mr. Louis Stanley of the BRM operation. And this guy was one guy who raced for him, called him that he used to think he was the Enzo Ferrari of England. So anyway, in a chauffeur-driven car, you know, they have this the Villa di Este, Lake Como, where all the Grand Prix drivers stay when the Italian Grand Prix takes place there. So Gethin is going with him in a chauffeur-driven limo, and somewhere along the way in the woods, they have a flat tire. So guess who has to fix the flat tire? Winner of the Italian Grand Prix just a few hours earlier.
Unbelievable. Where's the chauffeur?
Chauffeur, I think he was not fit to. Maybe it was a lady driver. I don't know.
Yeah. Elderly man, probably.
Could be elderly man. So these things happen. So fascinating world of motor racing. And this video of the 71 race is on YouTube. I would highly recommend. Fantastic. Some of the videos have no audio, which is very good. And a lot of people put funky music, something I've been accused of also. But, hey, what goes around comes around. But it's fantastic. This, remember when I was doing an interview with Bob Washer, and we've asked other people also, if they could go back to any race in the history, what would that be? For me, it would be, this would be one of the two, a top two or three. The other would be, of course,
Monza 71.
Monza 71 and the 57. Incredible. The 57 German Grand Prix. And, of course, the 85 Grand Premio de Portuguesa, Ayrton Senna's first win. But this was incredible. It was Monza, pre-chicane days, V12, V8, all sorts of engines running around. And I love it.
Nas, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Quickly, before we go to the wrap-up, why don't we talk about the calendar? Because, of course, one of my favorite photographs is Peter Gethin's picture in the calendar. Why don't we talk about that?
We just talked about it a few weeks ago.
We did?
Yeah, it is from this race. An interesting thing is,
I'm losing my mind, aren't I?
No, I think you're just missing Formula One too much. And so we will do a review of another page. But, my thanks to Mr. Eric from Pennsylvania. He put a comment. He gave a kudos up to the calendar on the forum. So I thank him for that.
Okay, so I think we're up to May now.
So Peter Gethin's picture, is in the February. And it's very interesting. He is shown with a car, BRM, which has these front wings in the race. And it says here it was during practice and qualifying. In the race, he raced without the front wings. So we try to give as much information as possible in the captions. So we talked about Alessandro Nannini, who is in the Benetton in March. And we talk about Hunt the Shunt, which is in the month of April.
And we're...
Oh, look who we have in May.
It figures, doesn't it?
He's the
Your
guy.
Your Auto Sports Awards in a picture.
Yeah, who is this guy? You know him, right? This is for May 2012, folks. We have one and only Sebastian Vettel giving Minardi, now known as Toro Rosso, and of course then also known as Toro Rosso, their only victory at Monza. What an incredible performance. Starting from pole, got the pole in the rain. And one thing that I will never forget about, there are some very interesting things about this victory. It's one and only, of course, for Toro Rosso and Minardi. Coming in Italy.
Now, what
at
happens
Monza.
If Toro Rosso gets a win? Does that mean your calendar has to be recalled?
No, this was done at that time.
Ah, at that time. Okay, that locks it in.
And I think Buemi and Alguersuari will keep me happy.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, would have been really tragic if those guys had managed to win in Brazil.
No, yeah. But this is a great picture of Vettel.
No, and this was at Monza of all the places.
Again.
And interestingly, with a Ferrari engine.
Machismo.
Yeah, that is very, very impressive. And, my everlasting memory of this race would be in a far superior McLaren on the front row is Heikki Kovalainen, and he never even makes a faint attempt to pass him or make a pass or anything. And I know Mr. Richard Dutton of Fortec Motorsports is a big fan of Heikki, tells me that, and I'm sure he's right, that Heikki had a dry setup, and I'm no technical guy, so I'm sure it makes a big difference. But man, if you have a car that's so far superior, I don't care if it's wet or sand river setup. If it was Schumacher in that car, or Nando or Hamilton, I'm not saying they would have won the race, but they would have troubled this guy, that's for sure. He had a walk in the park in the rain. But it was a very, very impressive performance. And of course, it made him, the pole gave him the youngest pole sitter, victory gave him the youngest race winner. And this guy is just now into the Schumacher zone now. Every time a race starts, it's some sort of a new record.
Well, let's hope Nando can nip that in the bud next year.
Yeah, and Nando and his teammate, man, I feel sorry for Massa. That has to be very demoralizing, you know.
But so, that's life.
I think what him and Mark Webber should do is they should go in some, like, take a vacation in Maldives. People like Maldives. I've never been there. Maybe go some deep sea, you know,
snorkeling,
pole fisher.
That's beautiful, man.
Maybe start singing in the opera.
I'll go ahead and text Felipe in the morning.
Text? Wow. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, let's wrap it up.
I'll take it.
Of course, the calendar is available
at f1weekly.com. And one sale means a Stella
and a half
for you.
Stella and a half for
me. Or you can get two Coronas for that, or a six-pack of Bud Light.
Correct.
But you have class, have you already discussed?
C-A-L-A-S-S.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you very much, Nasser. So, and thanks for everyone for listening out, filling out the survey. I know it was a pain in the butt, but we do appreciate it. San Francisco Formula One Group. They eat, they drink, they get together and watch Formula One. Check them out. SFF1.com. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2012 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, just contact CameronKarting.com. Nasser, why are you interrupting me?
I'm not interrupting you. I'm just gesturing.
You're gesturing?
I have a Western Union message for Mr. Peter Habish of SFF1. Your services are required. Please call me or send me a text message.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We want to mention our Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Google+. Check us out. Do a search for F1 Weekly or us as individuals and click like. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email me at info@f1weekly.com. I usually respond within minutes.
You have time on hand.
Exactly. So there you have it. I want to thank everybody who's ordered a calendar. And I want to thank all those other people that are about to order one right now.
And my request for those who have ordered and received, please put in a note as to which is your favorite picture or any comment you may have.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.